The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.
Welcome back. We're going to have a little bit of chat about Irish mammies, because Irish mammies, of course, are most important, really. They say the strangest things in life. Helena was talking to me earlier on about her mother, Mrs. Smallhorn. Now, Mrs. Smallhorn, she was a good woman, Helena. I know she was a good woman. We're not going to talk about her on the air because she listens every day. But Mammy Smallhorn, I know all about you and the things you used to say to little Helena before you'd smack her on the bottom. But joining me in the studio is Eilish O'Carroll, who is best friends with probably the most famous Irish mammy, Brendan O'Carroll, of course, Mrs. Brown. You're welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Right. Lovely to be here.
And you know what? When I met you first, going back a little while ago, Somebody said to me, oh, you know, Eilish O'Carroll's going to be here. And I said, Eilish O'Carroll. And she went, yeah, we need for Mrs. Brown. And I see this woman walking. And I see this glamorous woman walking. And I said, that's not Winnie. I mean, she's such a different person to you.
Oh, you're so nice. You're so nice.
But she is.
Yeah. Oh, she is. I mean, she's a totally different character to myself. Mm. Winnie is kind of lets everything go over her head, and she comes across as this very dim-witted, couldn't really, you know, have any real debates about any particular issues, whereas I'm a completely different
person. And was there a Winnie in your life?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a Winnie in everybody's life, isn't there?
There is. And there's a Mrs. Brown in everyone's life.
The Winnie I kind of modelled my, you know, a little bit was my mother's best friend. Now, she wasn't dim-witted, I have to stress that.
Right, okay.
But she was in awe of my mother.
Did she wear the scarf and everything
and
on her head?
She wore the scarf and she wore the rollers.
Yeah.
And she'd be sitting there puffing her fag
with
the rollers in. I don't think I ever saw her without the rollers unless she was going to mass.
Right.
And then she'd come back in the rollers. And her hair was all singed from the cigarettes. Remember those days? Yeah. And she had a perpetual smile on her face.
And a perpetual smell of smoke over.
And she always looked like, particularly when she'd had a few drinks, she would actually just, you couldn't take the smile off her face. Mm-hmm. It was fixed.
Yeah.
But she had a lovely nature, and she used to have huge debates with my mother and rows. They rowed more than they actually got on, really. But they had a great friendship, and they had an awful lot in common. And they were both very well-read women.
Mm.
And I think just women born before their time and weren't given the opportunity.
It's a different Ireland in those days,
completely
I can tell you.
Completely different.
Okay, but look, you've gone, I suppose, from a situation I was reading where at one stage your house was nearly taken off.
That's right.
So I'm not going to say from rags to riches.
No.
But certainly, you know, from this particular low point in your life, where you come up with a great plan, by the way, to rent your house with a place in Cork.
Yes.
To help you get out of that situation. But you've gone from that point to being somebody who's on the television on a regular basis that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, you know, with a few quid.
Yes.
I would be disappointed if you didn't have a few quid at this stage.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that feeling like? I know money doesn't buy you happiness.
No.
I know success doesn't buy you happiness, but it helps, does it?
But it really buys you peace of mind. And that's it. You know, to know that you can pay your bills.
Yeah.
And people today, particularly today, have huge problems and huge debt issues.
Mm.
And I was one of them. I was in huge debt and couldn't afford to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
And thankfully now I was at an age where my children were grown up and they were living, they were born and reared in the UK and they were living in the UK. So it was okay for me to live on cornflakes and Rice Krispies. and I used to throw in some sugar puffs because I used to go, that's my dessert. But, you know, it was a good time in my, when I'm looking back on it now, it was actually.
I think we all have to go through that in life, don't we?
So,
we have to deal with those situations because if we don't, we just don't know how the other half lives.
No. And I get up every morning now and I actually, you know, I am so grateful for where I am today.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for that little wee house in West Cork because it saved my life in the end.
And you're happy in love as well.
I'm happy in love.
No, see, this is what I wanted to come with. There was an article I read, right? And it said that you probably were a homophobic before you actually found out you were gay.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you were in a relationship. You were in your second marriage at the time.
Yes, I was.
Married? Were you happily married?
I was very happily married.
Okay, see, this is what, this is my mind boggles here. Okay, so here's you, a kind of homophobic. But wait, is Winnie a homophobe?
Winnie wouldn't know.
No, Winnie wouldn't. She wouldn't even know what a gay person was.
She wouldn't even know what a lesbian was. She probably thinks she was some sort of a, you know, an actor, you know. Oh, I've saw her on the telly.
Thespian.
Oh, she's brilliant. Do you mean thespian, don't you? I think Winnie would be more upset if you told her she was Protestant than Catholic, you know what I mean?
So you're in this happy marriage.
Yes.
And while you were in that marriage, did you fall in love with another woman?
I did. it was as simple as that. And I don't want to oversimplify.
No.
And I know it boggles your mind, but you can imagine what it did to mine.
Right, okay. Were you in denial?
I was in denial.
Did you think there was something wrong with you or something?
Absolutely. That's exactly the road I went down because, you know, whilst I wouldn't say I was particularly religious, all the demons came back to haunt me because I thought, this is not normal. And that was the kind of words I was using. And I didn't realise even then that I was homophobic. I don't think most people know that they are, but we are. Everybody at some point in their lives were homophobic, and some people still are. And that's not a judgment. It's just, to me, it's a fact. And for me, I could not come to terms with the fact that I could possibly
be in love with a woman.
Or be in love with a woman. It's just madness.
You even went as far as to go to see, was it a psychiatrist?
I went to see a therapist.
Right.
And yes, I did. And he told me.
Did he try to pray the gay away?
Oh, he did. Well, not really pray it away.
You know they do that in England, this therapy, where they pray the gay away.
And I'll give you some tablets, you know.
Yes, it'd be grand.
Go home and have a bath and you'll feel much better afterwards. And all that kind of thing.
Have a bath and look at a good porno movie and you'll be fine.
It's only a phase. I even told myself at the time that, and I was too young to be going through the change, but I said to myself, you know, this is the menopause.
Yeah.
And
the change. Isn't that a real Irish thing?
Yeah.
She's going through the change, love.
I was going through the change.
Are you getting the flushes,
so
love?
I went to the doctor and I said, listen, I'm going through the change. And I couldn't tell her what my real problem was.
Were you looking up the side effects on Google? Lesbianism. Is that one of the changes?
No, I was looking for the cure. You know, is there a cure? And I devoured self-help books. I thought there has to be an answer. You know, this is just a phase and it's part of the menopause. That's what it is. And pardon the pun, but I'll come out the other side of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. I did come out the other side of it. But
so how did your husband react to it? Well, apart from being obviously disappointed because he's now losing a wife.
Absolutely.
And a marriage breakup.
I got to be honest with you, Niall.
He did support you,
didn't he? I was blessed. Oh my God, I was blessed. That man, he was the only person I confided in. And he was just so supportive.
But devastated equally.
Both of us were.
Yeah.
Because I never stopped loving that man.
Mm.
And I still love that man.
But you're not in love with
him. I couldn't negate what we had and I couldn't, you know, ignore the history that we had. It was a really difficult time for both of us emotionally. But thankfully, we were both in second marriages. So we were very...
And you were afraid to tell your sons about it.
Oh, terrified. Because you're terrified of rejection. I thought, oh, God.
Now, they were grown lads. You know, but
very
they,
much so.
I was reading basically that they were angrier that you didn't tell them rather than you trying to hide this.
Absolutely. Years later when I did tell them I said I'm going to have to, took them out for dinner.
Yeah.
And I thought I'll tell them over dinner and I waited for dessert. But they knew. I mean, kids, yeah. They weren't kids then, but they knew. And they said, okay, Mum.
How did they know? Because you got your hair cut.
Yeah, you have something to tell us. And I said, yeah. And so I came out with it and they both were very, very silent. And I promised myself, one thing you do not do here is you do not cry. You are not looking for sympathy. You have to let them have their moment in this.
Yeah.
So my eldest son in particular said, well, Mum, you know, I got to say, I'm really very angry with you. And I'm thinking it's because I'm gay.
He's a homophobe.
Yeah. And I said, why? And he said, because we knew you were having a difficult time. And we actually knew the reason why. But he said, we could not actually say it unless you came out and told us. He said, and I'm angry because you didn't trust us to be there for you.
All right, okay. And I can see that.
That hurt. And it taught me a huge lesson. Trust your children.
Yeah.
Love them.
They absolutely. Will,
you know, whatever you give them, I mean, I would stand by my children no matter what. So I have to trust that they would stand by me no matter what. Mm.
Well, I mean, look, your life has changed dramatically now, of course.
Yes.
I mean, you're in love again now. I know that relationship didn't work out at the time, but you're in love again now, which is great. But your life has changed dramatically thanks to Brendan, of course. And Brendan, of course, has always been including his whole family in his production.
Absolutely.
From the very start. And look, hats off to the man. I know Brendan from years ago. I remember Brendan when he was doing stand-up at the Harp Bar. In town, okay, so I know Brendan from years ago and he tried so hard, he had so many failures, we all know the failures that he's had and the successes that he had, couldn't make it work and then one day it just worked.
And he never gave up.
No, and that's one thing, he wasn't a quitter.
Never, ever, ever gave up and from, you know, I'm slightly older than Brendan, and even as a kid, Brendan was always inventing something. And if it didn't work, he'd invent something else. Mm-hmm. As a young teenager, he was always in some sort of business and starting up some sort of business. And when that failed, he went on to something. He never stopped.
But the Agnes Brown theme was always there. Always there.
Absolutely.
Because I remember when he was doing the stand-up, he used to do the Irish Mammy.
Yes, that's right.
And he used to do these gags about the Irish Mammy and what things the Irish Mammy would say. Yep. Well, I think we have to take a break anyway. We're going to take a break. Okay, we'll take a quick break. You can text us at 53544. We want to know things that Irish mammies say. Any good examples? Get down off the wall or I break your legs. I mean, Irish mammies are unique, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah. You know, where were you? I could kill you.
Or can I have €1 to, or can I have €10 to go to the pictures? I'll give you pictures. So text 53544, things Irish mammies would say. And if you want to have a chat as well to Eilish, you're welcome to come on the air. You can ask her any questions you like. She doesn't care what you ask her. All right, if you want to come on the air, you can. You can have a chat with her. Text 53544. You can call us at 1850 410 494. And don't forget, if you're on WhatsApp, it's 1-800-087-1800. I did it wrong, I know, Helena. 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Now, it seems you spent the last hour and 20 minutes talking about the homeless crisis. Does Eilish have an opinion on it? Well, I mean, Eilish, do you have an opinion on the homeless crisis in this country?
I do have an opinion on the homeless crisis, but I don't think we're going to have time to cover it. I just think it's we collectively have a responsibility to the homeless, and I mean that from the government down.
Yeah, and so it's not all their fault.
No, it's not. No, it isn't. You know, I was listening to you this morning.
They could be doing more.
And we could certainly be doing more. And we shouldn't have that situation, not with the growth that we had in this country less than 15 years ago. Right. None of that money was actually put into housing, social housing. It wasn't. And neither was it put into our health system either. And you know, it's come back to bite our bums. I worked, believe it or not, in the 70s, and I had a lot to do with the homeless at the time. And it's almost like the same thing is happening all over again. There's an assumption that everybody who is homeless, right, is there because they haven't bothered and haven't taken responsibility for their own situation. And that really is not true. Some people have, because of circumstances totally beyond their control, whether it be they're marginalised because of poverty or illness, or one parent family left on their own to rare a
abandoned.
Family. Abandoned. You know, it's not their fault. And I think there's a huge lack of compassion around that issue and a huge lack of...
Do you think I lack compassion?
Yes.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I thought I'd just be very straight.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, so
now,
you think I do.
I get, there's a lot I agree with what you say.
Well, that's a fair comment.
But there are times I feel that you
want to strangle me.
I do. There are times I want to put my foot through the radio.
So you do listen to the show every now and again.
I do, yes. Right.
And
yes.
What am I, if somebody said, would you think I'm a cheeky type of person?
You're cheeky.
Am I cheeky, Eilish?
You are a person that one can't help but love and hate in the same breath.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
I think it. Yeah, I think it's you have wonderful qualities, but there are times when I go, I just want to get a hold of that man.
Well, you know where I am there. So you come in.
You bring out the the anger in me, and that disables me. You know, and I think, oh, I'm so angry, I couldn't even get my point across if I picked up the phone to talk to him.
Well, you can get across now.
Right. But so yes, I think we lack compassion. Again, collectively,
Do you not think that when we see, I'm here and I get the stories about, you know, the woman sleeping in a car with four children, or the woman living on the beach with 12 children and wants her and her partner to have a house so they can all visit each other and everything else.
Right.
And I'm getting the extreme stories because they're the ones that are sensational that make the news.
Yeah.
So when I look at these stories, I go, these people are taking the piss.
Yeah. And you some know, people are.
And meanwhile, you know, John and Mary and their two kids have been chucked out of a rental apartment somewhere and are desperately trying to find somewhere, who are a genuine case and need to be supported. We don't have enough money left for them because some other people who have been spoiled are using it all. And I think that's the part of the problem.
That's a justification for your thinking process rather than it being the real story. I think we're not looking at the bigger picture. I think we do get the ones... That's who you hear about, aren't you? The ones who have their kids, seven kids in the car, and probably, you know, have brought the whole thing on themselves, not on the children, but on themselves individually. But for one, you'll always get somebody, always. That's the nature of our of the human race, we always get somebody
who will take advantage of a system.
Always, always, always. So let's accept that.
But you think Irish people are chancers? Focus. Are we chancers?
No, I don't think Irish people are chancers. I don't think any race are chancers. But within our race, yeah, and within our society, we do have chancers. Let's look at the bankers for starters. Biggest chancers going.
Yeah.
And they haven't been held accountable.
Well, some of them have gone to jail.
Some. Not enough, in my opinion, but some have. But, you know, we use one example or several examples of people who are taking the Michael, and they're who we focus on. And we don't focus on the bigger picture, and we don't focus on the stories we do not hear. There are some very genuine cases out there who are homeless and shouldn't be. And we as a society should actually be campaigning and saying to our government, enough. Look at
But what are they supposed to do?
Look at Germany and Holland, for instance. What they're supposed to do is...
Well, Germany's different because they all rent houses over there. Yeah, they don't buy them.
And why do they rent houses?
Well, I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing.
They have rent control. Mm. They have security of tenure. This is
but
exactly
it's also cultural too.
No.
Irish people always want... Irish people have this need in them.
Oh, of course it
to
is.
To own their own
it
home.
It goes back to the field, for God's sake.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to, my little piece of land.
This is my plot,
right?
My turf.
But, you know, that time has passed. We have to...
But feel like that.
We have to look at the community that we're living in now and the society we're living in now and do something about it. And this isn't going to get any easier. Look what's happened with house prices in Dublin in the last 18 months.
Oh, they've become unaffordable.
Right. So those people have absolutely no chance. Even those who have
What's pushing that up as well is our own government by providing the HAP scheme, for example. All it's doing is, you know, filling landlords' pockets full of money. So the HAP scheme is just filling the landlords' pockets full of money. They're pushing the prices up even higher because they know the state is willing to keep pushing the HAP scheme up as well to provide, because they have to provide housing.
But they have to push it up because our greed. And it's greed at the end of the day. We want to get the best price for our house if we live in Dublin.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, again, I think there should be some sort of control on house prices, particularly in the bigger cities, because you're isolating the people who are born and bred in those cities. They can't afford to live in their own hometown. They have to move out. Look what happened again during the Celtic Tiger. They all moved down to Portlaoise and Kildare.
Actually, they were living out in Cavan and everything.
And now most of them are in negative equity. Come on.
Okay, well, we can get on. We can talk more about that if we have time. By the way, would you like to go into politics? Because I know your father was a politician, wasn't he?
No, my mother was a politician.
Oh, your mother was a politician. Sorry, the first female politician
at the
time. Would
I like to go into politics? No, I don't think so. I think it's something that, as my mother used to say, there's no such thing as an honest politician. They cannot lie straight in bed.
Linda, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Linda?
How are you? Hi, Eilish.
Hello, how are you doing, Linda?
How are you? I love the show.
Oh,
I love it.
Thank you.
We love Miss Brown.
Thank you.
I love it. I want to know, I'd like you to tell me what you use on your face, what products.
Oh,
your skin is
because she does look young, in fairness, doesn't she?
Do you know skin,
what? Sorry for interrupting you, Eilish. I was watching the programme there of you with Dottie and Maura.
Yeah.
Right, because you do be on it so every so often.
Yeah.
And every time I see it, I'd go to my daughter, oh, look at her skin, she's just getting younger and younger. You look fabulous.
Ah, listen, Linda, thank you so much. What
You're
do I
welcome.
Use on my skin?
Yes,
I don't use the right products at all. I'm lucky. My mother had beautiful skin, and I think I inherited that. So I think it does help when you have that in your genes. I try to moisturise as often as I can remember. I wash it with soap and water.
So there isn't
no
a particular
way.
Product you use.
And is there a particular... No, because I'm one of these women that I go in, like you, Linda, I'm going in and I'm going, I want my skin to look really good.
Do you get a facial every now and again?
I've never had a facial in my life.
Right, okay.
Oh, Eilish, your skin
honestly,
is gorgeous.
And what I do is I go in and, of course, you know, when there's a sale on in products, or I'll read a magazine and it'll go, this will actually make you look 20 years younger. And I like a bloody idiot, decide
That's
that. It works and I'll use
this
it.
This is the video, though, and you see it magically changing a person's face in front of your very eyes.
Yeah,
if you don't know, that's a scam by now.
Yeah, I think most of them are scams. I think it's the simple approach and just keep it clean. Don't go to bed with your makeup on. Huh, that's a difficult one at times. But don't go to bed with your makeup on. Keep it nice and clean. Plenty of fresh air and moisturise.
Okay.
I do that. but your skin, you look fabulous.
Linda, thanks a million for saying
that. You're making her face is kind of all red now. You're making
her. And that's just it. And our hair, she just looks immaculate. Every time I see her, I'm more in doubt.
Can I just want to point out she is in a relationship, all right, just in case you're interested.
Linda, you should see me at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, you're talking about her smile now. She has a lovely smile.
No, I said she just sparkles from her eyes, her smile. She's just a gorgeous looking.
I tell you what, I'm looking for a PR person. Are you free?
Thank you, Linda. Have a great day. Declan, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Declan?
How you doing, Mike?
Declan, hey, do you want to talk about Irish mammyisms?
Oh, yeah, kind of.
All right, okay. What are the Irish mammyisms?
Oh, one of my favourite, my own mother saying, well, as many Irish mothers would be, you better stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about.
Or I'll put that smile on the other side of your face.
My father used to beat me in syllables. Did you ever get that? You know when he'd be slapping your arse, right? And he'd be holding your hand. And he'd be going, I know you will not do it again. As he was hitting you.
Oh, yeah.
Beat you in syllables. And you just didn't respond. Because if you respond, you got more. Because then you'd say, I'm sorry. And he'd go, oh, you better be sorry.
I brought you into this world, I take you out.
And I think that's the reason, isn't it? Thank you for that, Declan. I think that's the reason, by the way, that Mrs. Brown has become so successful is that Irish people, particularly, but the Australians love it. They just can't get enough of it, mind you.
Yeah.
The Irish, the British, the Australians, we're all very culturally the same.
Yes.
We can associate with that kind of head case of a mother, can't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. And mothers are contradictions, aren't they?
You know,
they really are. And I think that is why, Agnes Brown is so successful and she's such an icon because she says what other people think, okay? And like she could say something that you could say, for instance, Niall, and I wouldn't be offended by it because in my head I'm going, she's an L one, right? But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're thinking, when you hear me saying something already, you think, it doesn't matter, she's mad anyway.
Yeah. She can be very non-PC and get away with it. And But I think humour is a great way of actually bringing issues up. And once people start laughing about something that they feel very passionate about, it actually dissipates a little bit and they begin
breaks the ice a little bit, yeah.
And they begin to see the bigger picture on things, you know.
Betty.
Hi, Niall. Hi.
You're a big fan, I believe.
Oh, I think she's fantastic as a Winnie.
Oh, thank you so much.
I absolutely love the show. I have to be sick from laughing. It's very, very funny.
You don't find it offensive then?
No.
Good.
Now, I do know some people do find it offensive, but I certainly don't.
Right. Uh-huh. And are you an Irish mammy?
I'm an Irish mammy, yeah, but I 'cause my mammy used to say to me, like Declan said, I bought you into this world, I'll take you out. And another favourite was, you just wait till your father comes home.
Oh, yeah. That was the awful threat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You'd shit yourself.
My poor father was like 6 foot, and she's like only about 4 foot. And like even when we had boyfriends years ago, they were all afraid of Mam and never afraid of my father.
Dad.
Like, that was so tall, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Irish people tend to be afraid of the Irish mammy sometimes because they have full control. You know, they're completely in control. Although they look out of control, they're in complete control. Yeah.
And they can give you that look that you know if you're saying something and you just might look over and I can see her just looking at me and saying, uh-oh.
Yeah,
I'm in big trouble. I shouldn't have said that.
All right.
You're absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye,
Niall. Bye. See you, Betty. Bye. Dave.
Hey, Niall. How's it going?
How are you doing? Go on, you have another Irish mammy, isn't there?
Oh, jeez, I have a couple of them there for you. I suppose the one that she used to say to me all the time was, will you ever shut your mouth and eat your dinner?
My father used to threaten to send it to Africa if I didn't eat it. There's people starving in Africa. Like, we'll send it to them.
Yeah, and then there was the obligatory, if you fall off that wall and break your leg, well, don't come running to me.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. Yeah.
Then what else was it? If you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah. I'll dance on you. Have you ever heard that one? I'll eat and dance on you.
And do you think I made the money?
Oh, I get it from the money tree out the back garden, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, but they still loved us. They did everything for us, you know.
Yeah.
I hung on to the apron strings till I was 31.
Yeah, exactly. I've kind of noticed all myself that, like, I've kind of, I have three kids now, and I've kind of said a few of the bits as well to them, and I think to myself, oh God, I'm turning into me ma.
Yeah, yeah.
And Irish sons really are, you know, were a breed them to themselves. I mean, women, they have a fierce challenge, you know, basically prying some young man away from his mother.
Oh yeah, they do.
Are you? Do you still go back to your mom? Is your mom still with us, by the way?
Oh yeah, she is. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you still go back to your mom every now and again for your dinner?
Oh yeah, Jay's all the time. Yeah. I want to eat.
She's still doing your washing, Dave.
No, I have the wife to do that now.
And although you're married, can I ask you, and I want you to be completely honest, right?
Yep, yep.
Who makes a better dinner?
Think about this one, Dave. Think about this one.
Your wife could be listening, by the way. Can I just point that?
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, can I also say your mother could be listening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think I do.
Good answer.
Good save, Dave. Yeah, I could. Thanks, Dave, for that. I could never beat my mother's stew. My mother's stew was just amazing.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever made it like that. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. You should lash the Worcestershire sauce all over it.
Oh, gorgeous.
It was just, you couldn't beat your mother's cooking.
You couldn't.
Paul, well, hang on, just let me go to Paul first, because I want to just finish up with these callers. Paul, go ahead, you're on Classic Hits.
Hey, Niall. I just looked at it. Firstly, I love the show. It's brilliant. One question I have for you, some of my favourite parts of the show is when Brendan goes off script and just throws things at you and you aren't expecting them.
Yeah.
Just wondering how difficult it is to cope with that, and how do you keep a straight face when he's actually doing things like that?
That is really, really hard, and as you can see by some of the actors, they don't keep a straight face, they actually lose it. It's a very hard one. I'm used to Brendan. And as long as I don't look at him, but you'll find if you really watch the programme closely, Winnie very seldom makes eye contact with Agnes.
Because she just starts laughing.
And the reason for that is because as soon as I do, I can see a glint in his eye and I know he's going to do something. So I try very hard not to kind of engage and yet look as if I am engaged. So, yeah, that's my secret.
Yeah, try to ignore him, basically, Paul. That's what you have to do, ignore him.
Yeah, right. That seems to work, all right.
It's a sign of a true professional, by the way, somebody who can go off script and come back onto it again and keep the whole thing together. Thanks for that, Paul. Before you go, Eilish, and it's been beautiful, wonderful having you here.
Lovely.
And I know you feel the same way about
it. Yes, I do.
before you go, of course, I know you're doing something you want to tell us about. Anyway.
Yes, I am. I'm actually going to be doing my show Live, Love, Laugh for the...
And this has got an award, by the way.
Yes,
let's point
my
out.
award-winning show. I should use that because you use it on your show.
Yeah, award-winning, multi-award-winning.
Niall Boylan show. So I'm doing my show for the Limerick Arts and Culture Festival on the 15th of September. And it'll be a hospital arts and culture festival, I should stress. And it will be held in the community hall in the hospital grounds itself. So anybody down in Limerick or a little bit further afield, please come and see my award-winning.
Yes, and it's on the 15th of September. What's in the show? What do they expect to see?
Well, basically, they can expect a very, very interesting story.
Right, okay.
And it's very funny. It's very sad. It's brutally honest, and it's very inspiring. So you will go out thinking, "I can do this."
If Eilish can do it, anybody
if I can
do it.
You can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, look, it's been absolutely amazing and wonderful having you here, Eilish, and I'm delighted. And hopefully you come back into us again.
I'd love to come back in again.
Yeah, you're quite welcome anytime.
Thank you. And
you come in here and just give out to me.
Absolutely.
I actually feel like I've been given out to my baby mother today.
Well,
and I don't mean
well,
I,
no, you
you're probably not that
it.
Much
no,
older
no,
than
no.
me, by the way.
You should do as you're told, okay?
All right. Thanks very much.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.